Welcome to The Got Life with Pastor Dolapo Lawal, the lead pastor of the Zoe household. His desire is to bring you to the consciousness of the Zoe that has been made available to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen and be equipped with the Word of God.
So we established on Wednesday, Ecclesia, what did we say? Ek Kaleo, right? That means the called out ones, all right? Then we said, let's put for us, just to recap, many people didn't come on Wednesday. If you are a kind person, you want to go on your phone and send a link to as many people as possible. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Thank you, Jesus. Getting blessed? All right. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Let's read together, guys. Are we ready? One, two, go. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel we speak to him in the Mount Sinai. We spoke about the angels and the Old Testament, you know, and all that. I'm sure you can see that here. He says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. So we said the people, the Exodus, all right, the people in the Old Testament, the Israelites in the Old Testament, their movement from Egypt into the promised land was a typology of the church of Jesus Christ. All right? Egypt is not just a place. Egypt is actually a system. There are two broad systems in the Bible you have to see carefully. There is what is called the Egyptian system and the Babylonian system. All right? And this is what composes the cosmos. Say cosmos. So when you see the world, the word world in the Bible, is not generic. Sometimes the Bible, let me give you an example to make you think. The Bible says, love not the world, right? But the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Contradiction? If you say no, are you joking? Love not the world, for God so loved the world that he gave. So, how does that make any sense? That is telling you that world is not always world. There is cosmos, there is the world of people, there is the world of creation. There is world that God created, the ions, destinies. Then there is cosmos, systems. That's the world. So when God says, love not the world, he's not saying, don't love people in the world. He's saying, don't follow the systems of the world. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not a generic thing per se. So when we say there is a church in the wilderness, it's a typology of the present day church. So what did God do? God ek-kaleo them from Egypt. He called them out of Egypt, which is the same thing he did. He called us out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. So he called them out of Egypt, and the first thing they confronted was what? Red Sea. We established on Wednesday that Abraham went to Egypt in the Bible. Am I correct? And when they were going to Egypt, because the journey to the promised land was a journey back home. Canaan was their former house. So they moved from Canaan to Egypt in the time of famine because of Joseph. They now went to Goshen. All right? So now, after 430 years, they now want to go back to their house. That's also a typology. We left Eden. We left home. We left God. And now we're coming back home. That's why I told you, the life of a believer is not forward, it's backward. Your future is behind. Why? Alpha is the Omega. The beginning is always the end. All right? A normal person is born and then dies. A believer, what? Dies and is born. All right? Our future is behind. We're going back. All right? Or going back to the original state. Listen, hope you know that what you're doing in church is not learning. Unlearning, that's what you're doing. God's problem is that you have so many junk in your head. That's God's issue. When God created you, you were pure, innocent. The way some people, their faces like this, is life. God didn't make you like that. Huh? What's wrong with it? Oh. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Don't distract me. Okay, I'm joking. What was I saying? You see now? Every operation of devil in this meeting, eh? Eh? Yes, that's the problem. You know too many wrong things. You are too wise. God wants us to be childlike, not childish, amen, but childlike. Some of us were too wise in our eyes, too calculated. God says, go. How will I go? You see, it's adulthood. If you see people advising God, are you seeing? Yeah, I just say, I know what I'm saying. You don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So what we come to do most of the time is to unlearn, all right? Let me go back to my typology thing. So the Bible says, what you find in that wilderness, or those people, that their exodus, is a typology of the church of Jesus Christ. So God calls them out of Egypt. Now they are moving into the promised land. And the first thing that they confront is what? So where is the message? Okay. The first thing that they confront is what? The Red Sea. Am I correct? Now, why did they pass the Red Sea? I said it in shades, but let me make it clear. The first thing that God does to empower Moses on his journey is to use what he has, which is his rod. But God empowers him and translates that rod and makes it the rod of God. All right? Now, Malachi chapter 6, verse 9. Malachi chapter 6, verse 9. If it's not Malachi, just move on. So I'm digressing. Malachi chapter 6, verse 9. Let's read together. Perfect. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. It's fine. All right. So let me be sure you're fine because we're distracted. Remember, I said they came out of Egypt and now they are going to the promised land, right? Now, going to the promised land, the first thing that God does is to send a man. All right, the man that will bring about deliverance or salvation. All right, the meaning of Moses means what? Drawn out of water. That was his purpose. God didn't tell Moses that he was going to lead them into Egypt. That's not what he said, into Israel, into the promised land. Look at Exodus 3 verse 10. Let me just make that clear. Then we'll come back here. Exodus 3 verse 10, then come back here. Exodus 3 verse 10, quickly. Okay, let's see. It says, come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses' job description was to simply do what? Bring them out. He was born to take them through water. All right? Moses was the first, he was the crowner of baptism. You would see in the epistles that the Bible says they were baptized in the clouds into Moses. All right? Don't let me talk too far. So God sends a man, same thing, God sends Jesus to bring us out of life, to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is it making sense? All right. So now Moses gets there and then he has this special encounter with God, a burning bush experience. God hallows the ground. God shows him his person and then gives him a fortitude, says, listen, I know you have a rod, but I want to translate what you have, all right? I will now empower what you have, and then we'll walk from there. So Moses goes and starts to do many miracles, signs and wonders, 10 plagues, which were against the gods of Israel, of Egypt, and then the children of Israel, about 2 million of them, are now in the Exodus. Now they get to the first place, which is the Red Sea. God says, don't pass the land of the Philistines. I want you to pass the Red Sea. There were other routes. Like I said, Abraham went to Egypt, all right? Didn't pass Red Sea. When they were going to Egypt also, they did not pass Red Sea. There was a faster route to pass Philistine. God said, these people, I need to prepare them. If I take them through the shorter route, they will see the giants and their hearts will fail. He says, so I need 40 days to train them. That 40 days is what Jesus did in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. He said he appeared to them by many infallible proofs and showed himself to his disciples 40 days, expounding the scriptures. So in the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus did the 40 days principle as well. Look at it. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them how many days? 40. That 40 days was the supposed journey, all right, in the wilderness that will make them see the promised land. Because the promised land was not a land. You can't miss me here. This is so important. The promised land was not a land. It was an allegory for a reality in God. If the promised land was a land, all right, that means the people in the promised land were saved. Were they saved? No. So it means the intention of God was not to take them to a geographical location. The intention of God was to take them into the land of the promise. What is the promise? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. We'll still come back here. But you have to understand. If I say you will not understand what I'm saying. So, Hebrews 11, verse 39. It says, all this, and this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received what? Not the promise. All right? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, in whom you also trusted after you were sealed, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to this. In whom also after ye believed, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of Acts chapter 1 verse 4. So we want to establish what the promise is. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So what is the promised land? Anywhere the Holy Ghost can stay. Do you understand? So all the while, when God was taking them into a promised land, it was the land to flow with milk and honey. And I told you on Wednesday, that word milk and honey is describing the word of God. Your word is like honey to my soul. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So all along, God was taking them on a journey into them. I need you to see your heart and permit me to come inside. So the 40 days was God training them to look at themselves, to see his mercy, his provision, and then align with his purpose. Does that make sense? All right. So now Moses is about to lead these people out. They are all coming out. And the first thing God says is, the first thing I have to do for my church is baptism. So they had to pass the Red Sea. But how are they baptized? Remember, the Bible says, John, ye baptized ye with water. All right? But Jesus, he says, the one that comes after me will baptize with what? Holy Ghost and fire. So there is a water baptism as a typology, and then we must also see a typology of Holy Ghost and fire. Does that make sense? So now let's see how God baptized them with water as a typology and how God also showed the reality of Holy Ghost and fire. You ready? You're ready? All right. Malachi 6 verse 9. Malachi 6 verse 9. Now we can read Malachi. You can now understand what I want to say. Malachi 6 verse 9. Malachi 6 verse 9. Monique, are we together? You get what I'm saying? All right. Too many scriptures? It's good for your health. I won't stop. Malachi 6 verse 9. It's good for you. Malachi 6 verse 9. This is Malachi 1. The Lord's voice cried unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod. In essence, the rod can speak. He says, and who had appointed it? He says, hear the rod. Let's go to Psalm 23. Let's start from verse 3. Psalm 23. Let's read, guys. 1, 2, go. He restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 44. Sorry. Let's go like that. Quickly. Thy rod and thy staff, they do what? So what is the job of the rod? The rod is not to beat. All right? The rod and the staff, what do they do? Comfort. All right? A good shepherd won't wound his flock. Now, we read Micah 6 verse 9. The rod, hear the rod. All right? Psalm 23 verse 4. The rod and the staff comfort. Amen? And Moses has a rod. Now see what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16. Let's read together. Are we together? Micah 6, verse 9, what does he say? Yeah. Hear the rod. All right. Psalm 23, verse 4, what does he say? Comfort. So the ministry of the rod is to speak. The meaning of the ministry of the rod is that the rod is also the staff. What is the meaning of staff? Authority. Am I correct? The staff of a kingdom is the authority of the kingdom. If you want to become a king, go and steal staff in the palace. You won't live to tell the story, but it's fine. Don't try to. Right? You won't be the king, they will arrest you. And then he now tells us that that rod and that staff is for comforting. See what Jesus says in John 14, verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So what Moses was holding as the rod was a typology of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I just said? So when Moses stretched forth that rod and the water parted, he was baptizing them by water as a typology of the of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is fire, right, and spirit. So they come into the Red Sea and they are passing. Then Moses said, the Egyptians that you see today, you see them no more. In other words, he's saying, you will die to your old self, and whoever is in Christ will become a new creature. It was all a typology of the new church, the ecclesia. Does that make any sense? Okay. Because when you read the church in the wilderness, you have to understand what that means. So when you're reading the story of the children of Israel, you are not reading an abstract story. Some people said, if I was an Israelite and I saw God divide the Red Sea, I will not change. You're lying. You're lying. You will do worse. Listen, that church is a description of the heart of a believer. They are not the only ones that are stubborn. Do you know how many times we disobey in a day? The quickest people to forget miracles are Christians. If you see, listen, Christians are so quick to move on from miracles that it's like the challenge just cancels the testimony away. Ah, God does not. Think about how many times you've complained about things and put side by side with how many times he came through. For the fact that you are here means he always came through. And guess what? You have fresh needs. Am I correct? You're just like them. Another brother said, if me, Adam and Eve, rubbish, simple instruction, just one thing, and they messed it all up. It's not true. If you were the one, you would do the same thing. Because the Bible didn't tell us that God told them in the morning and they went to eat in the evening. There was no time. So they might have obeyed for 1 billion years. We don't know. This is why I like the Bible. The Bible is not absolutely supernatural. It shows how ordinary people, God used ordinary people to do supernatural things. If we read about David and we did not read the story of Bathsheba, we would say, such a nice man of God. But the fact that we can see his mistakes and flaws is making us understand that this document is real. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we look at that church, listen, what I'm saying is so important. When you look at that church in Exodus, gave them manna, God gave them quiver, God gave them food, God put light on their head. Listen, before you start complaining that these people are so, they are so shallow, they are so... Listen, that's a typology of your person. You know what is interesting? God knew that they were going to do all those things. It didn't change God from calling them out of that. The people... Okay, let me let it slide. Praise God. God is good. So we don't go to another place, all right? We also did a commentary on Wednesday about Matthew 16, 13 to 21, all right? We also showed, he said, where is the church of Jesus? Where is the church? We want to see that. Where is the church? Revelation 21. Let's look at that. Where is the church? Revelation 21. Where is the church? Revelation 21, verse 9. Where is the church? Where are we now? We are not here. Amen. We are here, but we are somewhere else. Hallelujah. He says, let's read together. One, two, go. Glory. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, so who is the bride? The church. Thank God. Amen. Yes, we are together. The bride, the Lamb's wife, the church. All right, verse 10. And he carried me away. He carried me away where? In the spirit, to a great and high mountain. So where we are, where the church of Jesus Christ is not just somewhere in heaven. It's a place away. Oh, praise God. I don't know. These are things that excite me. I like to see that I'm different from angels. I enjoy it. Because they always feel like they're supernatural. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city. So as we're seated here, this is where we are. In a great and high mountain, where? In a great city. You walked into a great city when you came to church. You came to a place that an angel will have to travel into when you came for this gathering. This is very sacred. The gathering of believers, that's why there is a way to behave. There is a way to talk. There is a way to act. There is a way to treat somebody in church. A great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. Oh, Rosteheya. Look at that. The church, the holy Jerusalem. Listen, what does the Bible say? Descending out of what? Heaven. From where? From God. So the church is not around God. Angels are around God. The church is descending from God. So where are we having our meeting? In God. In God. The assembly of... So you can't come to church and say, I didn't see God. How? You can't come to church and say, I didn't see God. Because we're having our meeting where? Right in God. Praise Jesus. Now, what is the church of Jesus? What is the church? We said on Wednesday that the church is the body of Christ. All right? And then I also said that all the descriptions of the New Testament believer shows that we are not solo. This is not a solo match, right? Shows that we are part of a body or we are part of something. The Bible calls us branches. The Bible doesn't call us trees. Are we bored? Okay. John 15. I don't really care. John 15. Let's look from verse 1. I want to show you something here. John 15, verse 1. Let's read together, friends. 1, 2, go. Glory. I am the vine. I'm the true vine, true. And my Father is the husbandman. So God is the one that plants, all right? I'm the vine. Yes, verse 2, let me let it go. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh away. Okay, I have to say this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh away. And every branch that bringeth fruit, it purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, when the Bible says, if you don't bear fruit, it will take you away. What does that mean? Let's read verse 3. Go to verse 3 and go to verse 4. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, go. Okay. Abide in me, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Look at verse 6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So now in verse 6, you see Jesus saying, he that abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. So Jesus is saying, if you are not abiding in me, you will be burnt. All right? For if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. All right? And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. All right? Now, go back to verse 2. Go back to verse 2. Let's make something clear. Go back to verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh away. So what's the difference between take away and cast away? There's a difference. It's not tautology. You didn't notice that? Listen. Christians are too lazy. You have to learn to study the Word of God. If I start sermonizing here now, you will enjoy the message, but you will have no routine. Let me tell you how you know that what you're doing is spiritual. When your body and your mind is antagonizing reality, that's how you know you're hearing the Word of God. How many of you, if you want to fast, you'll be hungry, but if you're not fasting, you'll be okay? There's no normal. You will smell beans like this. Beans. You see beans. I know beans now. It's not that sweet. But doing that fast. There was a particular day I saw somebody eating egg roll. And I was fasting. I nearly died. This egg roll, it was now round. I was now picturing the egg. So I said, egg roll. Egg roll. There's another thing, I don't know if you've noticed. How many people eat shortbread? Have you noticed that it's sweeter when you beg? I see that. It's not only me. Once you bite like this, not sweet. But if you say, can you give me one or two? Very sweet. Okay. Back to the sermon. No jokes. All right. But seriously, so now we have to do a counter comparison. Jesus says to take away, and Jesus says to cast away. Not the same. Now, that word take away, praise God, is the Greek word Iro. Say Iro. A is spelled A, so you will want to check it. A, because this kind of thing now, you want to correct somebody, make sure you know it too. Don't go and cast too. A, before they cast you away. A-I. I didn't say hi. You have been delivered. A-I-R-O. All right, A-I-R-O. What does it mean? It means to lift up or to reposition. Ah. Every branch in me, listen, the one that is cast away is the one that is not abiding in him. Jesus says, if you are in Christ and you are not bearing fruit, it is my responsibility to reposition you. You will only be cast away if you are not connected to me. Then you cannot bear any fruit. Because you are supposed to bear fruit, you are not supposed to produce fruit. To bear means to carry. To produce means to manufacture. Do you understand? God is the one that produces the fruit. What we do is to bear the fruit. Do you get what I'm saying? So what is God trying to say? The summation of this is this. My word has capacity to make you fruitful. And how does my word do that? Or why does my word do that? This is the single reason. You know a tree by the word fruit. Ah, I can't wait to say it. Are you ready? If you commonize this revelation, are you ready? The same way we find our definition in God is the same way God finds definition in us to the world. Listen, God defines us, but we define God to the world. People in the world will never know the kind of tree God is until we bear fruit. So the same way we find who we are in God is the same way God finds expression for who he is to the world in us. Do you know what this means? God is saying, me and you have become one. Listen, have you seen a tree that the vine is standing, then the branch will go and stay in another place? High tree. Yeah. What God is saying is that two of us are sharing one life. Do you understand this?
Yes,
hey, do you know what it means to have the life of God? God says, we have one life. Your life is not outside mine, and mine is not outside yours. One very life. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Jesus says, you are the expressions of me. Then Jesus said, he said, by their fruits, you shall know them. So Jesus is saying, if you want to know me, look at my church. I'm going to change our local assembly. Praise Jesus. And so listen, why am I saying this? Because God doesn't have a better people than the people beside you. You have to understand that. No matter how flawed a believer is, he's still an expression of God. And you are not wiser than God. Listen, if you come to church to look for good people, you don't know the meaning of church. How can you come to the hospital and you are looking for people that are healthy? Are you joking? All of us are on medication, amen? Some are responding to treatment, amen? Some are not responding. But they will still respond. At least they are around. But as you come to church, you say, I don't like... Some people change church like they're changing underwear. I don't like that church. You say, why? The people there are bad. Who do you expect to be in church? Good people? This is not a museum of good character. That church, they are very kind. Some people... And many people have that entitlement mentality when it comes to church. They think church is customer service. They did not call me. Did you call them? Listen, I'm saying this respectfully and very as polite as I can. A bastard is not someone that doesn't have a father. A bastard is someone that is not responsible in his father's house. If you are not aware that this business is God's business, and God is your father, and you are not responsible for it. You are just acting like one. Usher, I will tell somebody, please sit down here. Listen, I've come to realize that many people think that ushers are doing bad in life. Can you imagine? That usher told me to sit somewhere. That, listen, because they chose to serve doesn't mean they are doing worse in life. That usher might be the person interviewing you tomorrow. You have to calm down. This is... Church is not where you come to gratify your flesh. Another one, I cannot go to a church that they don't have good music. Are you joking?
I think I was talking to somebody today.
I didn't like the worship in church this morning. I said, is the worship unto you? Is it your worship? You cannot assess a spiritual thing by physical expressions. Listen, you can be singing worship. I've done it before, many times. I've been leading worship and I knelt down because I've been standing for so long. I didn't kneel because I was in awe of God's power. I knelt to be comfortable. I said, he has entered spirit. It is stupidity. Hands down to drop it all. It is stupidity to appease a spirit in a physical way. That's what is called stupidity. If you think that what God is going to be looking at is your expression, physical expression alone, and not what is coming from in to out, you're joking. There is a sense of rest. When you hear the word church, you are hearing family. Let me tell you something. If you don't like people, forget about God using you. Listen, it's not a curse. If you are, there are some things we say, don't be fooling them to say it. I'm Scorpio. This is where I am, my temper. Don't talk like that. You are like I am. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to conform to the person of God. I'm an introvert. I don't like talking to you. You don't like talking to people and you're a Christian? Are you joking? This is the way God made me. Our generation has been able to use, what do they call it? Zodiac. Zodiac. You have terrible character, you say Zodiac. Are you joking? Our generation has gotten everything wrong. Bleaching, they call it skincare. God will help all of us. Let me break that table. All this table we are touching. If you don't like people, forget about God using you. Because God calls a man to men. If you don't like the people of God, God cannot use you. He has no business with you. Listen, for God to use you will cost you pain. How many of you want to be Mary? Mother of Jesus. It's a glorious thing. You carry... Jesus said, I'm Mary. Not your own Mary. You are a black Mary. You are a Maria. Black Maria. Praise God. Everybody who wants to be Mary, carry God. But guess what? You're going to lose your child. That's the thing. It's true. You are going to have God as a baby. But that God is your baby and you're going to lose a child. Not at 50 or 60, but at 33. So painful. When you receive the call of God, listen, you're called for people. Listen, some of you are going through things that God will... is touchy. Can I say it? You're going through things that God wants to use to have... to give somebody an advice for just 15 minutes. Listen, you're literally experiencing things that God is trying to give you an understanding for another person that will go through it, to avoid that person from going through it, and you will say your life experience that cost you so much pain for 3 years, you will tell the person in 15 minutes. And you went through that process for one person. And you know what is so sad? The person might not take the advice. That's the pain.
Do you know how painful it is for you to go into a wilderness and prepare for a 40 years ministry for people like Israelites? Have you read about these people? These people were wicked. God was so good to them that they were growing and their slippers was growing with them. Can you imagine that kind of miracle? It was like they were living a miracle. God said, listen, this was God's pronunciation to them. He said, check your slippers. Did he cut? And these same people gathered and said, let's kill Moses. So you can imagine, say, they don't deserve me. They don't. They are using me in that church. If you are not being useful, you're being useless. So when you hear the word church, when we say gathering, don't come to be served. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You come to serve. You come to serve. Praise the Lord. You come to serve. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a portion. You don't just spectate. Today, let's see what will happen. Look, be part of what is happening. Think about it. What are the dynamic things we can do? How can we reach out to souls? We want to have an outreach. Want to have an evangelist. Listen, that's why you're here. That's why we're a church. Our parents have done their part. Honestly, some of them, they've kept the faith. If I don't know if some of you are from, I might not be able to relate, but I speak to a lot of older people. They've done so much for Jesus. Some of you might understand what I'm saying. Your parents did some ridiculous things in serving God that were very inconvenient as you were growing up. It's now your turn. It's now what? Your turn. It's now your own turn. Some of you, when you are encouraging your children to serve God, you'll be lying. In those days, Holy Spirit will be like, when we used to pray, I know people that pray. It will be blowing lie. Have scrums to give these kids. You will feel as a parent if you didn't lead them to Jesus. Let me tell you something. I heard this from a pastor. All right, it was Pastor Chris. His children were in school. God will help us. His children were in school, all right? And their friend was sick. You know what the boy said? He said, my daddy is coming to pick me today. You'll be fine. He was certain that his father was a medicine. Why would that child say that kind of thing? Because he has been sick several times. That his father healed him. For a child to have a test, you know how innocent a child is? Say, don't worry, my daddy will come and pick me today. Say, don't worry. That means, forget it. When my dad comes, you'll be fine. For some of us, it's even you that say, which drug have you used? Have you? Because the times when you were supposed to build fortitude, the times when you were supposed to see realities, you were busy doing vibes. Vibes on vibes. That's why you are vibing your life away. Vibes call. Vibrato. That's such a bad joke, though. Vibrato, how now? Calm down. Alright. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the church, we are one body. If something is happening to Lola, it should be happening to you. Now we're talking integration. It should be happening to you. You say, let me tell you this. When the Bible says that he leaves the 99
for the one. I know that what everybody thinks is because, he loves that one. That's not why. The shepherd does it for, he is after the good of the entire flock. He doesn't love one more than the other. So this is the narrative. If you're a nomad or you read about nomadics, you understand. When a wild animal, all right, takes one animal from your flock, he's going to come back for the others. If you don't go and take that one from him, he goes after the one for the sake of the 99. Do you understand? That, listen, what I said now is the opposite of the narrative that everybody believes. That because of the love for the one. It's because of the love for the entire flock. So he has to go and get that one to make sure that the 100 is preserved. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Listen, once the devil can enter our midst and afflict somebody, he will come back again. He can't just come and go. The Bible tells us that once a demon comes, what will he do? He will open room for how many more? Devil can't come and just say, bye. That's not the way it works. So once we're in a local assembly and we see that one of us is afflicted, the devil is in our neighborhood. If he's with your neighbor, he's in your neighborhood. The church was looking, they killed James. Then they picked Peter. They saw that this thing is nearing us. They started praying. It doesn't have to get to the place of damage before we start doing something. If you are ashamed to talk about things you are going through in a local assembly, you joined an organization. You didn't join church because church is family. And peradventure, somebody shares gist with us that this is what they are going through and you talk about it. You are not part of this family. God, who is our dad, doesn't expose us. I hope you're aware. The Bible says he puts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. The devil tries to raise it up. The blood of Jesus will speak, hey, keep quiet. Don't disgrace my children in front of my angels. That's what happens. You now come and start. You see, there are some things that must not be done. I remember one time in Lagos, I prayed for one sister. You know, I was in a meeting and I started to preach. And I sensed that, you know, she wasn't saved. All right. The guy brought her for a healing service. So as I was ministering, full of the Spirit. I knew something was wrong. So I knew that she was demon-possessed. So I prayed for her and definitely started manifesting, shaking and breaking, scattering everywhere. So the sister, you know, she was fine and then she joined the church. 3 weeks later, the boy breaks up with her. Why? Because she manifested in church. Listen, that guy just showed me that he's an unbeliever. Listen, you are leaving a girl that you saw me use the power of God to set free. Now you left her to go and meet another girl that you don't know was inside her. It shows me that you don't believe in the power of God. Because if you believe in the power of God, you would have believed that when I prayed for her, she was fine. Easy. That's what he is. That's a very silly thing to do. That was a family thing. You didn't need to make it like that. Somebody says, okay, I'm trusting God for this. I'm trusting this. That brother. No job. And he'll be wearing 5-5 clothes. You can't do that. We are one. Listen, I'm trying to make what I'm saying as easy and relatable as possible because we want to move on. Listen, we cannot have a wrong mentality to enter 2022. We have to have a family mindset. We have to be together. Listen, one person's problem becomes our problem. Let me tell you why. Because how many of you believe we're going to really grow? Yes. We are. We are going to be a whole lot. I know.
Let us enjoy it now. We might not have this privilege again. We're a small church. Let us enjoy it now. Let us share victories. Such that when you go somewhere and they say prayer doesn't work, you will just laugh. Do you know how many things we've changed in our family? That's the mindset. When we want to start having prayers now, join. Be open. Let's walk through it together. Let's pray together. There is no time in your Bible where people gather to pray that something didn't work. Not once. That people gather together, raise their voice in one accord as touching anything that it didn't change. Not once in the Bible. So we have a big proclivity that we are living redundant. It's time to start to see church as family. You are leaving home to come home. It's true we are preaching the word, but the word of God, listen, Paul says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all family in heaven and on earth is named. Can I tell you why you are not getting revelation from God? I should tell you why. Because you don't like the people of God. Listen, if I marry wife and you don't like my wife, you have already shortchanged yourself in intimacy and access to me. If my wife won't be comfortable if you're in my house, I won't allow you to come. If you don't like the bride of Jesus, you have shortchanged yourself from accessing to intimacy with him. Once you are not comfortable with people of God, God will be comfortable around you. Listen, what I'm saying is very literal. It's something I've seen. There are people that are wounded, that are offended. What they did was that they just excused themselves out of the will of God. It's so important. If you want to enjoy, listen, what Moses enjoyed with God was the benevolence of God's love for the children of Israel. God was speaking with Moses because he wanted to get messages to. Yeah. So Moses was enjoying intimacy because of Israel. You will enjoy intimacy with God when God sees that there are people that depend on you for him to reach them. Do you understand? That's why pastors have revelation. No Allah. Let me leave you alone. That's the secret. That's the simple secret. That God knows that if he doesn't feed you, he can't feed them. He will have to get it to you. If he knows he will get it through you, he will always get it to you. Some of you, God put a word in your heart since 2014. It's still vibes on vibes that is on your status. And I say, oh Lord, speak to me. He said, vibes. Enjoy your vibes. Praise Jesus. Are we making progress? You understanding anything? Let me say one more point. All right? Glory to Jesus. The church of Jesus is God's workmanship. God's workmanship. Say workmanship. Let's see Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, and we'll close here. All right? We're going to take time to pray. We're going to pray for our local assembly. We're going to pray. We did it on Friday. We're going to pray for our brothers. They are still part of the entire local assembly, the Caris Church, our brothers in Lagos, in Zoe Lagos, in Ecclesia, and our brethren here as well. All right? We're going to be praying for them. We're going to pray that they will experience increase. They will experience growth. They will experience God's unmerited favor. That doors will be opened unto them individually in every area of their life. All right? Some of you know their names. You can call names. This prayer we're about to pray this evening, I want you to practice selflessness. I want you to pray for people. All right? Like you will pray for yourself.
Can I tell you something? Do you know how to express love to God? Let me show you something. John 21, we'll read this. John 21. This should bless you. This should bless you. If this doesn't bless you, go home. I'm just joking. How they play you. Hallelujah. Look at John 21 verse 15. John 21 verse 15. We're going to close here. And then we'll read Ephesians 2 and we'll close. Can we read? 1, 2, go. So when they are dying, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. Now this word love here, Jesus used the Greek word agape, all right? When Peter will answer, he said phila. That means, Jesus said, can you love me unconditionally? He said, I feel a brotherly love towards you. He said unto him, he didn't say lamb, feed Peter. God help us, okay. Verse 16. This table. Verse 16. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Right, verse 17. Lamb and sheep is same thing, not as no. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because I said unto him, I said, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So how do you express your love to Jesus? By what you do to others. Jesus said, the way to love me is not to feed me. Your offering is good, but I think I would prefer you to help another person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said, if you want to show love to me, he says, love my people, love my lambs, love my sheep. I love you, Lord. I worship you. Jesus says, no, that's not her. That's not how to love me. You love the people. Some people have hated people and they've hated into church. I don't like that, brother. And sometimes you don't even like people because you assume how they are. I think he's proud. Do you know he's proud? I just perceive. He's a proud guy. Don't you see the way he just walks? Really? Jesus said, if you love me, what do? You feed my sheep. So the way I express my love to God is what? Is to love God's people. My love to God is love towards God's people. You cannot not love a child of God, especially one in your local assembly. Ah, you can't. You can't. I don't like. You can't. It's not a choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? Peradventure you don't like, you have to talk about it. I don't like you. Listen, it's how you feel. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've met people before and said, I don't like your person. And this is exactly, okay, I'm going to cast Shaitan. So the first time I met Shaitan, I think maybe she has seen me on Instagram or something. So I came to a program, you know. So me, I was talking to, definitely I was very familiar with it, you know Lamide. So one of my friends drove from New Jersey to come and say hi to me and stuff like that. 4 hours drive to come and see me. So I was greeting the person. Shaito said, so I'm like, hi. I said, what happened? You can see I'm talking. I don't think I said, what happened? I just said, something like, mama. I'm talking to somebody or something like that. And she was just being nice. I think she wanted to just encourage me or say, ah, that was a powerful menstruation. So one time, we're just chilling. She now said, ah, PD, do you know that the first time I saw you, I didn't really like you. I said, ah, we've met. She said, yes, at Lamide's program, this happened. And I now started to apologize. She said, no, now I know you. I know that's not you. I said, let me stay there. Yeah. I'm very sorry. And I just thought about it that, what if I didn't get the chance? That's actually just a minute ago. Unfollow, proud guy. Now, this is the truth. She has an impression of me, but that's not me. So who is wrong? She's wrong. Do you know the funniest thing I've even noticed about keeping grudges at people? Most times you're angry at people that don't even know you're angry at them. You're not talking to them, they will just come. Those people are always very lively. I don't know why. They will make jokes, everybody will laugh, you will just like, what's funny? If they were fine before they become ugly, am I speaking? I think I understand how this thing works. Why are they laughing? What did you say? What did you say? One of the pastors, he really offended me. He was preaching it, I don't know. He said something very dear. I said, ah, what? I didn't say the word loud. Normally, I'm expressing the word of God. I can stand all through that. I said, ah, let me shout out it. Praise God. So I told the guy, some of you can already assume who the person is or was. So I told the guy, I said, are you offended? He said, really? That even pained me more. That I was offended for over a week and you didn't notice. I said, you didn't notice that when you greeted me, I did like this. He said, I didn't. I said, ah, I did like this. He said, ah. I said, wow. Praise the Lord. Right, there's a way you put people in your heart, you imprison them, then they begin to imprison you. Ephesians chapter 2, before I start to sermonize, God will help us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, let's close. Don't miss Wednesday, we continue. This is a live series, we need it, all right, as a local assembly. Amen. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Say hallelujah. See, let me tell you something. Anytime you hear anything about salvation, always rejoice. Because you could have never merited it. Can we try again? For by grace are you saved through faith. Woo! And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Ooh. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are what? His workmanship. Not his workmen now, his workmanship. We are the evidence of God's craftsmanship. We are the evidence of God's skillfulness. Sorry, guys, I'm so sorry. We are the evidence of God's skillfulness. We are the evidence of what God can make, what God can do. Listen, a believer is God's best displayed. But we are his workmanship. Where are we created? Created in Christ. Ah, Shabrahia. Unto good works, which God had before ordained, hallelujah, that we should walk in them. A believer is God's project. Do you know what that means? Listen, have you ever seen a dirty house before? What does the dirty house represent? Oh my God, I feel like running. What does a dirty house represent? A dirty owner. The Bible is saying we are God's workmanship. We are the evidence of how God can manage. We are the evidence of what God can do. So God packed into us. God bought us. We became God's own. Do you understand this? God is now using us to display the wonders of his good works. So if you look at a believer and you see death, the Bible is telling you that trace it to the owner. In other words, my life will look like what God can do. Do you understand this? So peradventure you see somebody struggling with something or struggling with that one thing, God is cleaning. It will be better. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is, listen, he just packed in. It's a process. He's taking out the cobwebs. Just give him time. Don't give up on what God is giving into. Did you hear what I said? Don't give up on what God is giving into. God just came in. Give God time. Listen, never give up on a believer. Never. Never say this is how he will die. If he's a believer, he believes the word of God. We read it in John 15 verse 3. These are the words that I speak unto you. Some of you don't want to invite your friends that have tattoo to church. You are wrong. You say, that's that guy, that my friend is a sinner. That's why you should be here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why you should be here. Listen, religion, you make a mistake and you run away from God. Christianity, you make a mistake and you call God immediately. You're struggling, you cannot pray. You come to church to edify yourself. Listen, I want us to be so vulnerable as a local assembly. You can walk to Tom and say, Tom, please hold me, pray over me. I don't really have any strength to pray. I've struggled this week. And she just holds your hand. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, the way God even works, you might be struggling to pray. God will need another person struggling to pray to come and tell you to pray over them. And you will not now have a choice but to pray. Anybody has... I've advised people with things I'm going through. Say, God told me that. I say, God, are you sure? Can't God see that we are the same? Anyways. And I noticed this. Have you ever been talking before you heard yourself? You're like, when did I have sense like this? I'm sensible. God will bring them to you because he wants to get a word to you, but the word is already in you. He will use them to bring it out of you. You will say the solution. Have sense, Jesus.
Sometimes I'm thinking somebody, I'll say, he doesn't know, I don't know what I just said. I said it for the first time by utterance. Hallelujah. Arise. Let's pray. We're going to be praying. Listen, I want you to catch burden this evening. There is a way we will be connected as a local assembly. We can. Say we can. Monique, we can. Such that you're hugging somebody. It's not just high anymore. As you hug the person, you can sense the burden. I'm telling you, we can be that connected. There are people that I will shake. And as I'm shaking them, I can sense a burden. I'll just start to prophesy. I sense this is what you're going through. This is what you're going through. Let me tell you something. In Unilag, she might be watching or something. Shei, that's her name. She's my friend, Shei. She's in church. She was in the fellowship there. We finished service and she was going home. So I gave her a very big hug. And I said, Shei, wait. I brought my wallet out and I gave her 500 naira. Then I said, And I added 50 naira. 550 naira. I said, Shei, take. 550 naira. I said, I sense that you need this money. She showed me something. She needed to get a cough syrup. It was 550. Exact money. And I first gave her 500. The Spirit of God told me to put 50 naira. It was particular. I caught the burden. I've shaken people before. I shook their hand and I started crying. And as I started crying, I saw myself uttering what they were going through, as if it was me. It's because you're a pastor. It's not true. It's because I'm a child of God. All of us can grow, can have compassion in that sense, that we begin to communicate our burdens and get lighter. Tonight, I want you to pray for the church in Lagos, the Caris, Zoe Lagos, the church in Chicago. We're going to raise our voices and just pray and intercede for them, that they are well, they are sound in their mind. There's a lot going on. The older generation, they had different problems. Our own problem is mental, psychological. Am I saying the right thing? Yes. Emotional issues. Let's begin to pray now. Please raise your voice and pray. Pray for them like you. Pray for them like you. Some of you, you've not even taken time to pray for your own nuclear family. It's time to intercede. Pray with compassion in your heart that they are well, they are sound. The Lord will keep them. The Lord will encourage them. There are people that need encouragement in this season. Some people are tired.